Well, good morning once again. Would you stand with me, please, as we recite the Apostles' Creed? This is our statement of faith. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Pastor Mark officiated a wedding yesterday in Florida for a friend of his, so he is connecting with us this morning online. Good morning. I'm sure that he would want me to tell you all that he says hello to you, and Jimmy and Sherry would especially want me to send that greeting on to you as well. As I mentioned, this weekend was our missions conference, so we had two speakers come in on Friday and Saturday, and boy, I got to tell you, that was time well spent. We had Pastor Mark Baxter out of Jacksonville, Florida. He's a missions pastor there. He had to get back for church this morning, but then we also had the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher, and he was able to stay over today, and I know that he is not a stranger to many of you. He is actually just a longtime friend of Pastor Mark's. He and his wife Sherry are, and certainly a friend to this church. I certainly don't want to take any more of his time, so would you please welcome this morning the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher.
Good morning. How y'all? All y'all? Are you doing good? Listen, just so you know, I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. Just so you know. And if you want to talk about the Super Bowl, I will say, well, at least we made it there. That's all I'm saying. I do tell people, it's like, look, if Kansas City's not playing, I'm a Packer fan. All right? So that's the way it is. And nothing would please me more than for us to have a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl that we win, of course. But anyway, thank you all so much. Thank you, Mark, if you're watching, and everybody. Becky, Keith, the staff, all the tech team, how y'all doing back there? Nobody ever talks to them unless they're complaining. We love you guys. The band, the worship, all that stuff, y'all are just fantastic. And it's our honor to be here with you today. I'd like to thank you, first of all, and I'm making announcements so you can tune out if you want to, but I'd like to thank you, first of all, as a church for supporting us in our mission. You know, we've been doing this now. As of March 1st, we've been doing this 25 years. It's kind of impossible for us to do that. And you say, well, what do? And we say, well, we have the ministry of showing up. And so do you. And that equation is be yourself in Christ. Wherever you go, he goes. And wherever he goes, stuff happens. So regardless of where it is, wherever you show up, Christ's in you. There are things that are going to take place there just because you brought Jesus into that situation. We have this year, we have right now, we have 22 outreaches on the books. A lot of those are prison outreaches. And people will say, well, you have a prison ministry. It's like, well, no, I have a people ministry. We have a people ministry. And there just happens to be 2.4 million people in America, the population of Houston, Texas, that are incarcerated. And so we have the opportunity through a number of things, my music being one of them, to be able to go into prison. And we're having a tremendous response to what we do in prison. We found a key. And the key is that if you show up in prison with food that's not prison food, everybody's coming to see you. And so we have an event, our first big one coming up on May 10th in Chillicothe, Missouri at a women's prison. And my daughter, our daughter Jessica, if you don't know that story, there's a book on the table that her and I wrote together called The Little Girl Wins. It's the story of how we met for the first time when she was 38 years old in 2011. In fact, we just celebrated our anniversary, 13 years, last Friday, March 14th. But Jessica will be there, and we'll be sharing our story. The band will be on the grounds, and we'll be doing a concert. I'll be sharing the gospel, and we will feed 1,800 people. We'll feed the entire staff. We'll feed all of the inmates, and all of them will attend. And you all help us to be able to do that. Now, I want to mention this. This is an advertisement, and the reason why I mention this is because anything that you purchase on our product table, 100% of that goes into the ministry. We don't take royalties or commissions on those things. The ministry affords us a modest salary, but so anything that you buy. So I want to mention this because I'm really proud of it. Sherry started this thing. She loves our deck. We have this deck behind our house. If you follow Sherry on social media, you'll see her out there. And she does this thing. She goes out on the deck, lights the fire pit, puts her shoes up on the fire pit, and takes a picture. And she did that, and all over the world, people started responding and saying, I want to come, sit on your deck, put my feet up on your fire pit, and take a picture of my shoes. Now, just so you'll know, Sherry has some shoes. We need some sponsor somewhere to sponsor this thing. But anyway, so we encouraged Sherry to write a book, and it came out just 2 weeks ago. It's called Sitting on the Deck with Sherry Bratcher. And this book, it's incredible because it's a devotional, it's a journal, and a coloring book. And so this is the first place where we've had this that's available besides online. So those are out there. We have some bracelets, just a few of these. An inmate in one of the prisons that we go to, he made Sherry and I one of these. And I told him the last time I saw him, I said, you know what happens when I put this bracelet on? I think of you. And when I think of you, I pray for you. And so if you would like to purchase one of these, they're like 10 bucks. And only do it if you'll pray for the inmates that will stand in front of them. We have 5 of those food events this summer. And then we have on the table some of these. There's not a lot of them, but you can find them online. And this is Little Jesus. And you'd be surprised how effective this is in walking up to somebody and just saying, hey, you look like you need a little Jesus. One of our friends owns a large music venue in Kansas City, and I was at church a few weeks ago, and one of the guys there came up to me, and he says, I haven't met you yet, but let me introduce myself. I'm an ENT at Knuckleheads. And he said, you're the guy that started that whole little Jesus thing, aren't you? And I have to be honest, when somebody walked up and gave me this for the first time, I thought it was a piece of chocolate, so I popped it in my mouth and started chewing on it, found out quickly it was rubber, and But he said, I was working, and these two tables were about to get into a fight because one of the guys had insulted one of the girls at the other table, and her husband and him were about to get into it. And so I just walked up and said, hey, you guys need a little Jesus. And just like y'all, you're smiling. It's like that just broke the ice enough. But it's a good way to start a conversation. And then finally, before I get into my message, follow us online. We recorded a concert last May for my 70th birthday, and it's getting ready to come out on video, so that'll be out there, so just look at that. But anyway, we're here this weekend for a missions conference, and I just want to reiterate that it's so important that all of us engage in some kind of mission, doing something that's beyond ourselves, beyond our comfort zone, with people we don't know that don't look like us, that don't talk like us, that don't smell like us, and just being engaged in that. And when we do that, we're actually putting ourselves in a place where we're responding to a command of Jesus to go, and that takes faith. And I want to talk to you this morning about faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us, encouraging us, giving us a commission to go. Lord, I pray this morning that as I speak, that my words would be just appointed by the Holy Spirit, penetrating the hearts of us all and encouraging us that we have a job to do in Jesus' name. Amen. My text this morning is Mark chapter 9, verses 22 through 24 in the Amplified Bible. I like reading the Amplified Bible. It just expounds some things a little bit more. Mark chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, it says this: "The demon is often thrown him both into fire and into water, intending to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "You say to me, 'If you can,' all things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in me." Immediately, the father of the boy cried out with a desperate, piercing cry, saying, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." In Mark chapter 9, Jesus has been up on the mountain with a few of his disciples, and there he was transfigured. And Moses and Elijah joined them there. And Peter speaks up. I love Peter because Peter's like the redneck of the disciples. And Peter speaks up and he says, "Lord, we need to make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And all of a sudden the heavens open up and God speaks like only he can speak. And he says, "This is my son, hear him." You know, if it had been me, it'd have been like, "Shut up, Peter, and listen to Jesus." But he says, "Listen to him." And they come down off the mountain, and Jesus is immediately confronted with this father. Now, I want you to put yourself, and maybe you live in this environment, but I want you to put yourself in the place of the desperation of this father. Jesus comes down off the mountain, and this father comes up to him, and he's taken his son to the disciples. And he's asked the disciples to help, and they've tried, but they can't. And he does something that's absolutely remarkable, which should be a lesson to you and I. That if we go to the church and we go to the disciples and they can't, we should bypass the disciples and go directly to Jesus. And that's what this father does. Because I've learned in 47 years of going to church that the church has a good tendency of disappointing me. And rather than me being disappointed and disconnecting myself from God and from Jesus and having the relationship that he intends, I can forgive them, but I'm still going to go to Jesus. And there's nothing that's going to dissuade me from doing anything but that. And this father does this, and Jesus asks him this question, you know, he says, "How long's it been this way?" He's interviewing the dad. The kid's on the ground rolling around, foaming at the mouth. And the dad is just so, "This thing is trying to kill him, Jesus. Can you do anything to help us?" And Jesus says, "You say, can I?" And that's the question that he asks this dad. He's like, "Look, this is not up to me, but all things are possible to him who believes." We sang about it this morning. Jesus makes an extremely bold statement. It's not about me. Can you believe it's possible? Or do you trust me? The father responds immediately with a loud voice saying, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Did Jesus really mean that all things are possible? And the answer to that is yes. But you know what the Bible says is impossible? It's pleasing God without believing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that. To experience the abundant life that Jesus promised, we must live this life by believing in Jesus, and there just ain't no other way. Today, I'm reminded of the words of a dear friend of mine in Sherry's. His name is Hans Koenstra. And Hans is a preacher from the Netherlands, and he would come to the United States. He was a healing evangelist. Tremendous ministry all over the world, saw so many miraculous miracles of healings. It was just wonderful to sit with Hans and let him speak to you and tell stories about all of the miracles that he had seen in his life. I handled his schedule here in the United States for a number of years. And so we got to travel with him and see some of the things that he did. And he would share a message to encourage the faith of the people who were there that needed a miracle. And then he would call some of them out by a word of knowledge. And he would interview them for just a second. And then he would get this real sobering look on his face. And he would say to them, "Let's do business with God." Today I want to entitle my message just that. Let's do business with God. After all, that's why we're here, right? That's why we take this time, set it apart. This is a sacred moment that we set apart and say, I'm going to come in this environment that we have deemed as sacred, and I'm going to put myself here for the sole purpose of I want to do business with God. I want to be engaged with His power, His resources in my life. But to do business with God, we have to do business with God His way. He gets to make the rules. It's His way or His way only. Now, Sherry and I, we had a band van that we traveled in for many years. You all might have seen it. Some of you that have been around for a while. We lovingly called it the White Pearl. And the White Pearl was a white trash treasure. It was legendary. We even had T-shirts made up for the White Pearl. The White Pearl, you could pull into a Walmart parking lot, park it in the parking lot. There wouldn't be a woman parked within 100 yards of that thing. It was that scary. We were coming back from the East Coast one time, and we got to about Indianapolis on I-70 on our way back to Kansas City, and the White Pearl started slowing down. By the time we got to St. Louis, it was only going 45 miles an hour. And I don't know if you've ever driven on I-70 between St. Louis and Kansas City trying to drive 45 miles an hour, but it ain't no fun. But we managed to get back to Kansas City, and I took it to the Dodge dealer, and he came back and said, "Well, your catalytic converter's clogged. It's going to cost $1,200. And I'm like, you know, the White Pearl really ain't worth $1,200. It was so bad that one of my pastor friends in Kansas City came to me and said, "Jimmy, you can't drive that thing no more. You need a new van, and I'm going to help you raise the money to get a new van." And he did. We call that the Big Pearl. But I told my neighbor, my next door neighbor, about this $1,200 bill, and he's like, "No, man." He says, take it over the hill to Riverside, Missouri, to Ray's Muffler. And listen, if you'll take a plate of food, the price will be cheaper. And so I went down to Ray's, and I saw Ray, and he came out and said, "Yeah, your catalytic converter's clogged. It's $300 cash money." You see, if you're going to do business with Ray, Ray don't want no check. He doesn't want a credit card, a debit card. He's not taking pesos. He wants cold, hard American cash. And if you're going to do business with God, you must do the business that Sherry's telling me to slow down on the front row. If you're going to do business with God, you have to use the currency that He accepts. And His currency is faith. You see, faith is the commodity of exchange in heaven. If you want to do business with God, He requires this: faith in His word in your heart. This is not an intellectual thing. This is a heart thing, because God is a heart God. The observation point of your life, 1 Samuel 16:7, God does not see as a man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. You see, we all have needs, right? But you try to go to God on the basis of your needs, and God is like, no bueno. You know, it's like trying to do business in America with pesos. But he is Jehovah Jireh. He's revealed by His names. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And really, when you dig into that just a little bit and look at the original language, here's what it actually says: the Lord who sees and provides. God sees and provides for us. And He does that in advance. There's a story of Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham has Isaac tied to the altar with the knife raised, and he sees a lamb in the thicket. He sees that God has provided. He came to that moment in time. He already has seen it, and he has already made provision for it. The Bible tells us that Jesus was before the foundation of the world. He looked into our time and said, there needs to be a Savior. I see the need, and I provide for the need. His answer for all of our needs is always the same. Jesus is the answer. You see, faith is to be our lifestyle. Galatians 3:11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we find that chapter is called the Hall of Faith. And I want to read a few verses here. Hebrews 11:1-3. Now faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Verse 2, by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval. Verse 3, by faith, that is, with an inherent trust and confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, we understand that the worlds, universe, ages were framed and created, formed and put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that were visible. You see, it's like this. When it's talking about the universe there, we have the picture of Genesis chapter 1. And I like to take Genesis very personally because it's the creation of earth. What is earth? Earth is our home. We are earth. It's a very personal story in Genesis chapter 1. But we have the picture that the world was void and without form in verse 2. The commentators call it the chaos. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's hovering over that chaos, and suddenly God speaks and structure and beauty and form come from this. That image is this. If there's a point of chaos in your life, there is an absence of you believing the word of God that God has already spoken and provided for you in this life. Sherry, I want to honor my wife Sherry's faith today and the role that her faith played in our life. If you know our story, we have a book on the table called Granny Paid for Our Divorce, because my grandmother actually paid for our divorce. Of course, we did get married again, so we're not, you know, just hanging out with each other. But shortly after our divorce, Sherry had an encounter with Jesus, and our world was nothing but chaos. And she had an encounter with Jesus, and she had a mentor in her life, and this mentor was helping her. It was a former school teacher, a woman that she respected, and she came to her one day, and she said, Sherry, what's your plan? And Sherry said, well, Jesus forgave me and saved me, so I'm going to believe that for Jimmy. And her mentor said to her, well, hon, you need another plan. Because he's not the type to get saved. I'm like, time out, man. I thought sinners were the type to get saved. It's like, I qualify. I got a PhD in sinology, you know? I mean, I'm that guy. And Sherry, disappointed, she went home and she grabbed her Bible. And I don't recommend that you do this, but this is what she did. She opened up the Bible, flipped it open, pointed at a passage of Scripture and read these words. So they said, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. And Sherry said, I'm going to believe that. Now, because she started doing business with God, and our worlds, like the men and women in Hebrews chapter 11, started to be framed, shaped. our purpose was starting to be revealed. Now, because there were two wills involved, I had to come to the place where I would say yes to the Holy Spirit convincing me that Jesus was real, that I needed a Savior, and I then began to use my faith, and our world began to be shaped and framed by the Word of God. You see, if you're here today and you can find a point of chaos in your marriage, it's because you have yet to discover and believe the Word of God concerning those things. You know, my life, when Sherry and I, you know, the way I ran my life was it was nonstop chaos. And that's the way it worked, because I wanted it my way, my will, my plan, my word. Everything was about me and what I thought was right, and nothing was working. And after life just beating my brains out, I finally said, you know what? This ain't working. So I'm going to do something different. I'm going to trust the Word of God, believe the Word of God. I'm going to cling to the Word of God. I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. I'm going to stand on the Word of God until I see my chaos. I see the beauty then come out of the ashes. I see the chaos then dissipate. I see light come as darkness is just gone. And I want you to think about this today. When you go home, you know, if there's a problem in your relationship, in your marriage, I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, say, reveal to me, what do I need to believe to see this gone? And it takes this coming from your heart and saying, you're right, I'm wrong. There's nothing else that you can do about it. Maybe you're having problems like this dad in Mark chapter 9. Maybe one of your kids is in serious trouble. What can you do? You can get a word from God and believe the Word of God above everything else and stand on the Word of God. What if there's more month than money? What do? You get a revelation that God has spoken concerning your finances. That at the first day of planet Earth that God put all of the wealth that was ever going to be on this planet in this planet for you and I. And the Bible says he gives us the power to get wealth. Does that mean everybody's going to be rich? No. Does that mean you're going to have all the stuff that you think you need? No. But if you believe, all things are possible. So I wanted to call you today. I wanted to be here today and just share this message with you, because it's so important for you and I to take this home with us. You see, God wants us to have that relationship with him of trust. And it's not just blindly trust. Trust is something that's earned and proven. And he proves his trust to us by his faithfulness. You know, I can look back over the last 47 years of my life since I said yes to Jesus, and I see nothing but goodness and mercy following me around. I look at where I was and where I am now and where I'm going. And Sherry and I, you know, we just turned 70. She actually is 71. She's older than me. It's official for about 2 months. But we're saying we're gonna love more. We're going to do more. We're going to give more. We're going to be as hot as we ever were, on fire for Jesus, than we ever were when we were younger. And I just wanted to encourage you today. God wants to do business with you. For some of you, you need to start that business by saying, you know what? I'm going to believe on Jesus. There's going to be an opportunity here in a little bit for you to respond to the Lord in that. For some of you, it needs to be, I'm going to make the commitment with my money and my time, and I'm going to go on a missions trip. I'm going to do something missional with my life. For some of you, it needs to be, you know what? God has spoken to me about my behavior in my marriage, and I'm going to release it. And I'm going to go with his idea instead of mine. So I want us all to leave here today and do business with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can be together. Thank you so much that you love us, you care for us, you tend to us. You've given us your word. You've given us the measure of faith that we need. And Lord, all things are possible. Lord, help us to grasp that, to grab a hold of it, and to stand on it in everything that we do, Lord. May it have the preeminence in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, may we see mountains move. May we see miracles happen. And Lord, we stand with you and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. And let's not forget, we all need a little bit of Jesus. I'm going to invite our usher, our musicians to come back at this time and our ushers to get ready for communion. I love this bottom line that we need to just do some business with God. Every Sunday before we partake in communion, we just follow what the scriptures tell us to do. And that is, Paul said that we ought to examine ourselves before we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In other words, we need to do a little business here with the Lord. So with those words in mind, I'm going to just ask you all to also bow your heads with me before we receive communion this morning. Heavenly Father, before we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, by what we've done or by what we have left undone, if we have not loved you with our whole heart, if we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, have mercy on us. Forgive us all of our sins. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And now, as our heads are still bowed, I know that there are some in the room this morning who need to begin doing business with God. And you can today. Jesus loves you and he has great things for your life. He offers you the gift of cleansing you from past wrongdoing, and he will make you new. If you want to start doing business with him, just tell him quietly in your own words, "Jesus, forgive me. Help me to learn how to make you my Lord day by precious day." Amen.